We resist. We resist truth. We resist light. We don't want it. If it don't excite me, if I'm not the center of attention, heck with it. Brother, I want to go to church so I can be excited. I want to be to go to church so they can tell me what a great person I am. You'll go to another one because you won't hear it here. I know that's hard. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter said, "I'm the apostle Peter. How dare thou callest thus me, thou Satan? Who are you, Jesus?" You think he said that? I don't think so. It's not that you think you're better than somebody. It's never that. When you begin to see Christ, you automatically know that. But what it is, you want people to partake of the salvation that they've been given, this so great a salvation, if they would just come to it. If they knew their condition, they would. But we got lying preachers telling them their condition is fine. If they would have had rest, he wouldn't have spoken of rest that they needed, would he? If they would have had life, if life could have come by the righteousness of the law, he wouldn't have then spoken of another one. I came that you might have something that you have never had, never seen, never possessed, never got a hold of. I come that you might have life, and that more abundant. Well, brother, I mean, I've been living for 50 years. I've got life. What are you talking about, life? This is my life. I did it my way. You just miss out. Listen. We've been talking about seeing Jesus in the Old Testament, but I just had this on my mind, so I'm giving you something else today. I'm calling living by faith. And we'll draw some pictures on the board here in a minute. I hope you'll stay with me. It's more challenging. You know, I'm always challenging you. See, we try to know spiritual reality with the natural senses. Sight, seeing. You know, I'm going to change two little words that Patty used. She said, God will change almost all your doctrines. Or a lot of your doctrines. None. I'm going to change that a lot to all. You don't leave nothing. You don't get to keep squat. You know, I know Patty's trying to be a little nicer than I am. She says a lot. So I don't want you to get the delusion that you get to keep something. Because you don't. Because everything we've had is from the darkness. It's from the wrong thing. You know, I just think about this all the time. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting on God to do something. Let's just go back to the garden a minute. Let's just go back to the garden. Adam and Eve blew it. Were they waiting on God to do something? Was God gone? Were they waiting on God to show up? Who was hiding from who? Well, brother, I'm not hiding from God. You're a liar. You are a liar. If you're waiting on God to move, it ain't God's fault. He's done moved. He's not hiding. Christ is not veiled. You are. You're the one who covers yourselves up and runs away and says, God's about to move. God's about to move. That's a lie. Don't drink it. Don't drink that Kool-Aid. Do you see what I'm talking about? We even got that in the Tights and Shadows. They hid themselves because they knew they were naked. They liked their own deeds and they went and run and hid. But brother, my heart is towards God. You're a liar. He knew men's heart was only evil continually. Has that changed? Who was asked Paul? Let's all run up to the apostle Paul and say, Paul, we're seeking God with all our heart. Paul says in Romans 2, none's went after him. None. Zero has went after God. None has done any good. All have sinned. The law given that every mouth may be stopped. So what are we going to do? I want us to realize our condition. Because once we realize our condition, there's a great remedy right there. Something that you can get a hold of. Something that you can be rooted and grounded in. Today. See, look at this. We try to access this thing by natural senses. Look at this verse, Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access. How? By faith into this grace in which we are going to get one of these glad days when God comes back and gives me grace. What version y'all looking at? I got a King James Holy Bible. Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Do you believe that? Yeah, brother, I'm in grace. Well, let me tell you something. Grace ain't worth a plug nickel if it ain't accessed by faith. Is it? According to that scripture, Paul is giving you the access of how you access. What is access? I need something I can get a hold of. I need something that's going to help me. I mean, you see what I mean? I need this life. How's it access? Faith. Oh, brother. We all got faith. We all live in faith. We all walk by faith. What is faith? Contend for the faith, brother. What's given to the saints? What is faith? I'm gonna just begin to give you a little bit of what faith is. And I know you think, well, brother, we've went over this before. I feel like we need to go over it again. What is faith? Well, faith means you believe in God. Faith is a grain of mustard seed, I can say to you on the mountain. Go out there and try it. I'll give you faith that's a grain of mustard seed. Go right over yonder up on the hill to the college and start praying to that mountain. Holler at me in 100 years and you'll still be right there praying to that mountain. Well, brother, I know he's talking about the mountain of trouble. He wasn't even talking about your mountain of trouble because he removed that in the cross too. Didn't he? Because you was the trouble. Get you out of the situation, is there trouble? There's not, are they? So he said, well, wait a minute, brother. I know we got all these other things. That faith of a grain of mustard seed, who's the seed? Patty's been talking about the seed. There's only two seeds. If there's only two seeds, one of them's the faith of a grain of mustard seed, one of them's seed of the devil. So who? Are you either one? One of them is Christ. Maybe it's his faith that can say to yonder mountain, be removed. Yonder mountain, be cast into the sea. And he did that. That mountain that was on fire, burning with fire, the mountain that could not be touched. You ain't come to that mountain with blackness and tempest. You ain't come to that mountain. You have come to Mount Zion. Access is grace in which we stand. Do you see? So how do we know spiritual reality? How do we know it? How do we know the kingdom? The kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation, but what? The kingdom of God is within you. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How's the kingdom access? Faith. How is this power access, Clyde? How is any of it access? Faith. You can quote the scriptures till your tongue falls out. It's access by faith. So what is this faith? See, we got to come to this necessity. I must have it. Faith. Faith is how we access all things in Christ. All things. Faith is given to you to participate, to walk in, kingdom of God, to walk in the light of the sun, to access him. There is no other way. Now let me qualify the statement. And that faculty, I'm going to call faith a faculty, just like we got sight and hearing and tasting and touching. We got all them faculties in the natural senses. Faith is the culmination of all of those, but in the spiritual side. Faith works in us to the degree, to the measure, that we give him room to fill our hearts with His light. Just like that seed that went on all kinds of ground. Remember? Some fell on stony ground. Some fell by the wayside, and the first seed went over here and gave them up. Some of the seed took root and sprang up really fast, but as soon as the trouble came, as soon as the sun came out, it withered. You remember, broad is the way. Don't everybody quote that? We quote that to a bunch of, listen, we quote that to all them out there that just bought a six-pack this morning. All them that's still smoking cigarettes and dipping stuff, they're the ones that's going to hell, not us Christians. We don't come to straight and narrow. He wasn't talking to the ones buying wine. He was talking to the Christians. He was talking to the Jews right there and said, you think you found the way, but you won't come to me that you might have life. My God, the whole thing He wrote for was for Christians. It was them, the ones that were neglecting salvation. The other ones didn't have salvation to neglect. How could they be held responsible for something? Do you see how important it is? Stay with me. See, that's always the issue with faith. How do we give it room? Everybody says, I want God to show me the truth. Let me ask you, have you ever prayed that prayer? God, show me the truth. I've come to a contradiction here, God. This guy says this, this guy says this. God, I want another truth. Truth said, you make me free, I want to know it. So we come up there in our pridefulness. I don't know about you, but I ask God to show me the truth. Oh, yeah. We are such stupid people. We are such stupid. God knows that. God knows that. Listen. We come up in here and say, God, I don't care what the cost. I want to know you. When it gets right down to it, we start arguing. God, this cost a little much. A little much. Patty called it a lot. This dumb preacher says, oh, cost me everything. You see, Jesus told him that. What man, when he's getting ready to go to battle, don't first stop, and then when it starts costing us everything. Wait a minute. Just wait just a second here. See, really, really, really wanting to know the Lord is the same thing as living by faith. Not just faith, by the faith. Let me qualify that. The faith of the Son of God. And to be willing to live by the faith of the Son of God, one must be willing to see things in His light. His light. But it'll cost you everything. It'll cost you all darkness. And we like the darkness because there we can hide. There we can hide. I mean, Jesus said that. He said, men love the darkness. That's John 3:19. Men love the darkness. Why do men love the darkness? Now, Jesus, that is stupid. Jesus said it. You argue with Him. Jesus said, men love the darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. What do you mean their deeds are evil? Because, see, we get these stupid qualifications of evil and we say, no, brother, I know guys who have never tasted a beer in their life, never touched a sip of wine. They are good people. But Jesus said their deeds are evil. Because you never tasted wine or beer, does that make you good? See, we want it to. We want it to, but it don't. Well, brother, I've never said a cuss word in my whole life. I've grown up 50 years old. I've never said a cuss word, so he's a good guy. See, we want it. See, we love the darkness because there I can call myself good. In the darkness, I can justify my deeds. In the darkness, I can say, here is why I do what I do. And call it good. See, let me tell you something that ought to scare us. You remember in Judges, that ought to bring the fear to us. Men, they all went about and they did what was right in their own eyes. They didn't do what was wrong in their own eyes. Problem was, they did what they thought was right. That ought to scare us. Because you don't know what's right. You don't know what's good. Until the light comes. Until he comes. Until faith dawns. Until the day star rises. Until we begin to walk in the light. And then what are you going to say? My God. He is light. He is life. He is love. He's right. He's everything. I mean, once you see him, would you ever try to qualify anything that you did as good ever again? Would you even jump up and try to shut people's mouth when they said, Clyde, oh, Clyde, he's a good fella? You would run and jump and say, no, my goodness is Christ, and Christ is in me. Don't you dare qualify me as being good, not once. And that's why Paul said to be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own. Don't you dare lay anything to me. You give it all to him. You see? Oh God, in that darkness, we justify our own view of purpose. And here's the thing, it all makes sense in the dark. All makes sense in the dark. Well, what do you mean? In the dark, brother, here it is. Jesus is coming back the second time, rapturing the church out of here. We're all going to heaven. The rest of you hellions are going to suffer on the earth for 1,000 years. Few of you guys that make it through, y'all going to come be with us up in heaven. The rest of y'all get turned over to the devil for 10,000 years while we go off to heaven and go trout fishing. Makes sense. We think it makes sense. Sounds good in the dark. Everybody gets along with it, they agree to it, and we go for it. Jesus said, you're from beneath, I'm from above. Jesus said, I'm in heaven. Now? Yeah, I'm standing now, I'm in heaven. What the heck is he talking about? Paul said, you're already translated into the kingdom of his dear son, raised with him, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, already blessed. What? We're trying to pray down a blessing. Trying to get God to move to give us a blessing. As if God hasn't already done something. As if, you know, this is what Elijah the prophet had to say to the prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Baal. He said, why don't you wake him up? Maybe God's on a long journey. That's what we do. Let's get a prayer chain and wake God up. Hey God, wake up, wake up. You said you're going to bless me, bless me, bless me. God says, what in the world are you talking about? My son lives in you. What more do you want? You obviously don't know him who is life and light and love. I created air. I was traveling home the other night just looking in the sky. The stars were out. I seen Jupiter and the Big Dipper and all these other things. I'm looking and I'm thinking, my God, the heavens testify of him. Amen. Those things that I look at through a telescope and it's so vast and we go into space and look and amazed and all these books, they testify of him who lives in you. The very constellations God put in. He put them constellations in the air. Virgo and Scorpion and all of them. He put them up there. Not for astrology. To testify of his son that was coming. That son that we've been brought to in you and to Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. I'm looking at that vast thing and you know, you used to think, my God, it'd be so wonderful to see all that. And I can just hear the Lord saying, how about seeing the one who is the substance of all those things? Which do you want? Do you want to see Jupiter or the one whom I fashioned Jupiter after? See, that spiritual reality is accessed by faith. Set in wonder at these natural things. And listen, I want to tell you something, guys. I know myself. I love to assume the best about myself. Don't you? Don't you love to assume the best about yourself? We do that in the darkness. I love to hold on to the ideas that are meaningful to me, especially the ideas I have about God. Why do I want to hold on to them? Because I created them. And the things I made, it's very good to me because I made them in my own image and after my likeness and called it God. Did they not do that in Genesis 5? Did they not do that and make them a calf? Has the religious still not doing that today? Making God after their own image? Did not Paul say that and write in Romans 2? Created God in their own image. And we liked it. We called it good. And we said, here's what God is like. We said God used to be mad and had them under the law, and if they didn't do this, he busted them up. But now God is soft and he's graceful. And God loves everybody. You can do anything and just come on up in here. And God is wanting to bless you. And God is crying because he hasn't had a chance to bless you yet. And his whole desire is about blessing you. That's hogwash. That's poison. And then we'd jump up and say, God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Which is it? Was he mad and now he ain't? Was he, is he schizophrenic? Is he bipolar? I'm telling you what, he never has been because he's always testified to that one son. That one son that he's always allowed you to participate in, if you will. But look, guys, if you don't, he let him die in the wilderness, didn't he? Did God go out and beg him? He said, look, guys, I gave you a land right here, a land flowing with milk and honey. It's yours, Clyde. You don't even have to build a bridge across the river. When the priests touch the feet in it, I'll stand it up in a heap. You'll go through on dry ground, and everywhere the sole of your feet touches, I've already given it to you. And the people looked in there, and they said, it's a good land. I see the milk. I see the honey. I see the fruit of it. And carried the fruit back on a stick and come back to the crowd, says, we can't go in there. If we go in there, we'll die. If we go in that land, we will die. Let's stay over here and die. Think about it. If we go in that land, we'll die. If we stay here, we'll die. So let's stay here and die. I don't want to go over there and die. I want to stay here and die. Is that what they said? Isn't that what Christians say? If I come into this reality, it'll cost me my life. Well, listen, you didn't have a life anyway. All you had was your assumptions of what you call life. So really, it's not costing you anything but your ideas. How valuable are they to you? Men love the darkness because in the darkness I can be right. Yeah, let me show you a scripture here in Luke 18. I don't have too many scriptures today. Luke 18 and 8. Look at the last part of that. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Why is faith so rare? Look at the question he's asking. Man, everybody's got faith. Jesus asked the question, will I even find faith? Will I even find it? When I appear again, will I find it? I mean, because the whole Christian world is jumping up saying, we got faith, brother. We got faith. We got faith. Jesus asked the question, will I even find it? This ought to be a great big alarm, guys. This ought to be an alarm that cautions us, that wakes us up and says, my Lord, has the thing I've been calling faith even faith? Lord, except you show me, I don't know. Will I even find it? Why is faith so rare? Because faith begins, guys, with a turning of the heart. And it's not just so much of what you're turning from, it's what you're turning to. Because you can turn your heart from one mess to another mess. But it's turning from one to Christ, you see. Now listen, you can't change yourself, so don't even try. But you can turn your heart. We can What do you mean recognize something in yourself? You can begin to hate something about yourself. I don't know if you've ever came to that, but guys, I have. When I really began to see myself in the light for the first time, I knew I was a mess there. I knew it. Nobody had to tell me. I put on my face and called myself a good person for a long, long time. But when light come, I knew I was the woman with the issue of blood. I knew I was the mess. I knew I was the problem. But see, church people don't want to hear that today. They want to hear how good they are and how much God loves them and how much He's about to bless them and how much He's about to move for them and all these other things. But you can't go into the church and say you're a mess and you have need of Christ. Then you'll have all these empty seats. God, we want to be the center of everything. That all comes from that lie. It all comes from that lie. Patty was talking about that other seat. We want to be the focus. We want God to be the giant vending machine in the air, and Jesus is the 50 cents I put in the slot. Push the button, and out comes my Coke blessing. Dr. Pepper. So it all starts with the acknowledgement that we are the problem, with seeing our true situation. Now let me tell you something, guys. We're not supposed to preach this, but I'm going to today. Where does wisdom begin? Where does wisdom begin? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? Guys, I'm going to tell you what wisdom is, the cross. But see, we're not supposed to preach the fear of the Lord. But just stay with me and I'll show you. True fear of the Lord will start your heart to turning. It'll start your heart to turning. And when the heart starts to turn, that'll make room in the heart for faith. I think about this today. I mean, really, how much do we really fear the Lord today? I mean, all the messages today, what? There's no law. There's no, you know, God's just wanting to bless you, and, you know. Do you believe in your heart that He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? Every Christian in the world will say yes. Was He the same when He said, Saul, kill everybody. Kill every Amalekite, man, woman, and child. Kill their sheep. Kill their goats. Kill their dogs. Burn their houses. Kill the flies that are in the houses. Kill the chickens. Kill everything. Is he the same? I mean, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. Because, see, we want to say the same means God was good yesterday and God blessed me today. None of those things have anything to do with anything, but look here what Paul says. And you can argue this with Paul. 1 Corinthians 8:2. If any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Anybody thinks they know anything, knows nothing as they ought to know. See, that's a statement that Paul wrote that came out of the fear of the Lord. A fear of the Lord that said that in Paul's heart he's saying, you know, this ain't about me being right about something. What do you mean about being right about something? I'm gonna hit you right now, okay? Stay with me. Because you guys ever been in confrontation with somebody about Scripture? And you just know you're right? You know they're wrong? And you think one of these days God will vindicate you and show them that you're right? I mean, have you ever thought that? Come on. I know I'm right, but right now I'm just going to be humble and I'm going to go over here and pray. And God's going to show them. You know, you ever pull the Hezekiah trick on them? You know, I knew this guy one time and he was always giving me a hard time. Everything I said, I was talking, everything I preached, everything I said, everything I put out. Hard time. His conclusion, you're arrogant. God ain't showed you nothing, you're arrogant. You know, those things hurt your feelings. I don't care who you are, they hurt your feelings. So not in the public, but in the private, you go into your private little prayer closet, into your room, and you pull a Hezekiah on him. You lay all this stuff out. You remember Hezekiah when the old king Sennacherib and them was going to come up and kill everybody? Hezekiah laid the letter out and prayed over the letter. God said, I'll vindicate you, Hezekiah, I'll kill them all. Pull a Hezekiah on him. Laid everything out there, and God, you know you showed me this, you know you showed me the truth. I mean, before I never had nothing to say, but God, now I'm just speaking the truth. This guy's doing nothing but heckling me. He's calling me prideful. He's calling me arrogant, saying I've never seen nothing. God, why don't you show him? Why don't you vindicate me? And like a roaring thunder in your heart, in my heart, God says, what? I will never vindicate you. I have already vindicated my son. I will never vindicate you. See, people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Because that does nothing for the darkness that we're trying to hide in. But I'm telling you, he's already vindicated his son. And it has never been who's right or wrong. Who is walking by faith? See, let me bring this down and show you. Because, you know, I'm trying to tell this guy, you know, what God is doing. He's destroying everything in my heart and in my, you know, all my stuff. God will never vindicate your stance or your reputation. He never will. Because only one that matters. And there's nothing else that needs to be vindicated. When he vindicated his son, what else needs to be vindicated? Nothing. And here's the thing, guys. I saw that everything that I despised about that person, was a picture of me. I don't know, guys, we need to let that sink in. But I'm just telling you, time and time again, I have prayed for other people. Lord, they're an idiot. If you would just help them, it would make my life so much easier. And the Lord, time and time again, is saying, you know what? You know why I got that guy in your life? Because I'm trying to get your attention. Because you're the idiot. It's never their problem. It's yours. I'm trying to show you. You won't look at it in the light. You want to hide in the darkness, so I had to bring these other people in here to just get on your nerves and tick you off so bad. But then you come here as if it's your fault. Let me show you a scripture. Paul saw this. Look at Romans 2 and verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, you condemn yourself. My God, that guy over there is so blind, he can't see nothing. But what am I doing? Condemning myself for my own blindness. Well, that guy is so arrogant, thinks he knows everything. Paul says, he that thinks he knows anything knows nothing that he ought to know. You condemn yourself. Thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth thou the same thing. Why could Paul say this? Because he knew that nature. He knew what that nature was and how it operates and how it does. I mean, is that not what God told Job? Who art thou, Job, that darkest counsel without knowledge? Who are you, Job? You want to stand up in here, Job, and make your complaints? Where were you, Job? Think you know something, Job? Gird up yourself and be a man. Come here and I'll show you things. And that's a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? Who am I? Because the answer will determine whether faith has room in your heart or not. If it has room in your soul for increase. And that's why, you know, we said this before, but, you know, to say it out, that's why it comes to the turning of the heart just like a little child. Oh, Lord, I know nothing as I ought to know. I mean, not coming to the Lord with our little fig leaves, just getting rid of the leaves. Turning our heart to Him that He can be what? The author and the finisher of our faith. Both. Now, I haven't even got, but I'm gonna draw you a couple pictures here real fast. Because what happens, this faith begins to work in our hearts, the substance. The substance of the things that we can never see. The evidence of the things hoped for. The things that were promised to the prophets. All those things, guys, are accessed by faith. Faith begins to possess them. You possess the land by faith. Faith opens up to the heart an open heaven. What do you mean an open heaven? Did he not tell Nathaniel right out there, you will see heaven open? Have you ever seen heaven open? I mean, I'm asking the question because it's available. God, He doesn't have to sit up there, Patty, and say, oh, well, Patty asked, guys, open up heaven. So Patty, it's open. It's open. Have you seen it? Have you walked in it? Have you began to possess it? Because it's there. It's available. Well, let me just show you. I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to put this cross right here, because here's the division, and I wish I could turn my board upside down, but here's the first and here's the second. And you guys know we've been going through this for a long time, and this one here I'm going to say is in the earth. And what do we have here in the earth? We got types and shadows. So what do we have in the earth? Do we have love in the earth? And we got relation. Ships in the earth. So we got all these things. We got death. We got that is old. Oh boy, here's a good one. We have the Bible, don't we? Oh yeah. We got words. And we got books. We got all those things right here in the earth, don't we? Now let me ask you a question. How are these things accessed? How do you read a book? Nobody knows how you read a book. If you got eyes, you use your eyes. If you don't, you use your fingers and braille. Nowadays, you can even listen. But anyway, so we have our natural senses. That is how you access everything right here. Is it not? And so over here, the second, we got Christ, the new man, kingdom, can't spell, heaven. We have the Word. Life, I mean, you know, we could just keep on going on and on and on with all these things, but how are any of these things accessed? Faith. These things are accessed by faith. Now, why does he say that? Now listen, they're accessed by faith, not believed in by faith. Not believed in. Access. Now, let me just make an example here. I say, Josh, would you go into my office in there and get me a book? Josh goes over there, door's locked. Does Josh have access? Josh does not have access. But I forgive Josh the key. Josh, go in there, get book A off the shelf. Faith, now he has access. And not only does he have access to that book that's on the shelf, he has access to everything that's in that room. Does he not? By faith, we access. So has God withheld anything? Is God about to know? Well, the holdup is right here. Faith. Faith is not a belief system. Truthfully, it doesn't really matter what you believe in anyway. What matters is what faith has apprehended. And as faith works in your soul, it will shape beliefs. Now I'm almost finished. Now listen. See, faith tells the difference. Faith accesses. What do you mean the difference? The difference between this and this. Because that's where the difference is, isn't it? This and this. And see, without faith, man's beliefs correspond to what man wants to be true. Man's beliefs correspond to what man wants to be true. Why? Because men love the darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Why? Because men can then justify themselves. How many Christians do you know? How many Christians do you know will honestly tell you, I am going to hell? How many people outside of the Christian world will tell you that? Bunches. Will they not? But Christians won't. Why? Now, I'm not just saying anything. I'm saying it this way. Because they want to justify themselves. Look what I did for God. Look what I'm doing for God. Look what I'm fulfilling for God. Look how I'm maxed. Look all the people I'm... Look at everything I'm doing for God. I am now a good person. I'm now God's number one. Like the guy with the braces. God's number one, I'm number two. I hate it, but I'm number two. Clyde may be 13 or 14. Derek, he might be in the top 50. I don't know. I've checked with my old bud Jesus. See how Derek ranks in there. I know Derek had a couple weeks there. Really, he was up. And, you know, it's like making a couple bad grades on a test. He's sunk way back down. Had a few hundreds, a few 45s. You know what I mean? It's pitiful. It's a couple zeros. It's pitiful. Without faith accessing, beliefs can only guess at it anyway. Beliefs over here can only guess what love is, can't they? Because we say, well, this is what love is. Love is this. So then we go out and we try to reproduce it. Beliefs aren't accessed by faith. This whole realm is called grace. The whole realm is called grace, wherein we stand. Now listen, don't put time on this board and say, well, this, and then one of these days. You put time up there, throw it out the window. Time is over here, Clyde. Time don't have anything to do with it, right? He wiped it out right here. At the end of the world, right here. This is the end of the world. This is the end of time, right here. Cross. And all the problems in the body of Christ hinge on this issue. Faith. We claim to know the Lord, but not by faith. We claim to walk in the Lord, but not by faith. We claim relationship with the Lord, but not by faith. By all these things. We claim, Paul said, circumcision availeth nothing, and uncircumcision availeth nothing, but faith which worketh by love. See, if we're not knowing truth by faith, by default, we're knowing it this way. By default, we do. We try to grow in our own understanding instead of trying to grow in the Spirit's understanding. So it's the necessity of faith. It's not optional. If you're going to walk in this, you must have faith. Faith is how you began, was it not? Ask Paul in Galatians, did you not begin in faith? Did you not begin by being born in this thing? Faith is how everything of God that He's finished in Christ is accessed as it's experienced. And when these realities right here are not accessed by faith, they are copied. What's the word I'm looking for? Imagined by the mind. They're counterfeited. God's talking about love. He's talking about a kingdom. We've never seen what it really is, so we imagine what love is. So then my imagination of church is this. I'm going to start my own. Your imagination of church is this, so you start your own. Your imagination is love is this, so you do this. My imagination is this, I do that. You see what I mean? So that's why we have so many. Because we have as many churches as we have imaginations. Because we're not... I told you, the whole critical issue here is faith. Faith. That's why he said, you know what he said in Corinthians? I have not seen. Ear hath not heard. None of this right here can access this over here. But we have been given the Spirit whereby these things can be revealed. See, there's so much I just want to explain. See, to me, Christianity was my conviction. The things that I believed about God, what God was doing, what God could do, what God is like, what God wants to do. And it was the things that I believed, and I believed them strongly, and I had to fight you for them. And I believed my life trying to believe the right things. Trying to apply the right beliefs in different situations. Have you ever done that? And then here would come the tribulation. Here would come the tribulation. I'm over here doing the best I can, and all of a sudden a catastrophe happens. Tribulation happens in my life. Then what would I do? What's the church world tell you to do? Faith, don't they? I'm living over here. I'm doing everything over here, and then all of a sudden, boom, the world falls out from under me. Now, some preacher says, you need to have faith. You need to live by faith. So I've been living over here, hoping for over here. Abraham lived here. Who looked? Abraham by faith saw my day. By faith, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. By faith, so Abraham lived over here. This is old covenant. So we try to live over here, and when all hell breaks loose, we try to reach over here and grab something to pull it back over here and live in it. My God, they couldn't go back to Egypt either. Could they, Patty? There was a big Red Sea. This was the Red Sea. The Egyptians could no more go into the Promised Land, and they couldn't go back to Egypt. You cannot bring any of this stuff over here and try to live there. And God knew that, and you ain't even here. That's what he told Nicodemus. You must be born from above. Guys, this is above. This is beneath. Don't think about location. Don't think about up and down and Sesame Street stuff. What he's talking about here is kind. That's heaven and earth. That's another kind. How did Jesus descend into the earth? He was born of a woman. How are you born from above? How are you born into the kingdom? You must be born of the Spirit, born of faith. You were born into this. So heaven and earth and all of those things, he's just talking about the otherness of Christ. That's all he's talking about. The otherness of Christ. You, my friends, are here, risen with Christ. Now, let me just show you something. What he says, and I'll quit right here. So much more I'm cutting out of this. But he says, if then you be risen with Christ. But that word there, if, means seeing then. Seeing then. That you're risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above. Why in the world would you want to seek these things over here? I mean, that would be ludicrous. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Since you've been risen, Clyde, why in the world would you want to go back over here and seek those things? You're risen, so seek those things that are above. Set your affection not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above. Why? Why should I do that? Because you're dead. What do you mean? This right here, my friends, is dead in sin. This is everything that fell short of the glory of God. When he says you are dead, you are dead to sin. You're dead to everything that is over here. So don't even put your heart here. Put your heart here where everything is accessed by faith. See what we try to do. Listen. Troubles would happen in my life. Troubles would happen. I'm over here. I'm living over here. See, nobody told me about this, Clyde. Nobody told me about this. They said this was for another day, another time. So I'm living over here just like Abraham, and I'm trying to think about this, and then here comes a problem. tell me if you guys ain't done this. So I'm reading the Bible, and I'm quoting all the promised scriptures. You know all the promise. Well, he said, I'm weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Man, my life's hell, I've been crying all night, so I'm just going to keep quoting. Joy comes in the morning. 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 And I keep quoting, and I keep quoting. And did you guys ever just go around all day quoting the scriptures? Why? Is that what Paul said? Paul said access by faith. He didn't say access by quoting scriptures over and 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 over. But we do. We'll buy every book on the promises of God. 57 promises of God for you today. If you'll get them, well, first you need to pay me. And then I'll give you the book. And then you'll know the promises of God. And then you can pay me again to sow the seed so that you can get the promises of God. I tried to trust my future because I thought this was all future. So when my present was going bad, I'm trying to have faith for my future. You know what I mean? I ain't got no job. I ain't got this. I'm trying to trust God for my future. I'm trying to get through. I'm trying to get through. I'm trying. You know, the preacher says I need to have faith. Now, I never had faith on me. I didn't know what faith was. He said to have it. I'm trying to have it. The only time I'm trying to have it when all hell's breaking loose and I don't even know what it is. I'm trying to live over here. Does he not know my life is hell? I tried to cast all my cares, you know. I tried to take all this mess right here and says, cast all your cares upon the Lord. I tried to heap up all this stuff, bring it over here and say, here you go, Lord. Don't we try to do that? There's a division been made, guys. You think them guys, and I'm just going to ask you a dumb question. Let's say that me and Clyde were neighbors living in Egypt. And I had a nice three-bedroom spread. You know, Clyde, he has a big ranch house. We come out, we're into the wilderness walking around. Me and Clyde get together and say, I wonder what happened to my old house down there in Egypt. Man, I hope a good family got it. I hope they're taken care of. I hope they put a new roof on the house and fix the fence. But is there ever a mention of them wondering about their dwelling place down in Egypt at all? Did they even care anymore? I'm going to bring you into vineyards you didn't plant, houses you didn't even build. I tried the power of positive thinking. Did you ever try that, the power of positive thinking? How far did that get you? But let me tell you something, guys, when faith came, because that's what Paul says in Galatians, when faith came, I didn't have to try to muster up anything anymore. It was already there. True faith wasn't something I applied to a situation anyway. It was a light that began to shape everything that was in me. Faith run ahead of me, guys, and defined the circumstance before I even got to it. You don't think things happen in my life just like yours? But now I'm coming up on the circumstance. Faith is way out in front of me. I already defined it. Clyde, I already know what it is before I'm going to get there. So I'm not sweating anything because my future's already settled because it's the same as the past. And it's Christ Jesus. Let me show you this, guys, and I'm out of the way. Here's faith. I had to bring this in here today. Because just imagine that you live in a world of darkness. Everything is dark. Every definition you've ever made, everything is dark. Everything. Got the lens on it. And I started to write, if I could have found me a pen to write on this thing, I'd write God's view right here on this thing. Because finally, you've been brought over here in every situation. I mean, can you imagine? You're looking, you're calling it trouble, you're calling it depression, you're calling it bipolar, you're calling it everything, and God is sitting down. Why? Because He's finished. He's letting you run around like a bunch of little PAs running around everywhere. Finally, he says, Josh, just come here, man. Just come here. come up here a minute, Josh. Josh is running around like crazy. And his wife says, oh, God, can he? Oh, Lord, but I'm saying, Lord, but I'm trying to help me. And I can just see God said, would you hush? Just sit down right here for a minute. And then he says, I want you to see what I see. Yeah. And when you pull that up there, when you put the binoculars, you know what Josh can't do? He can't look at himself no more, can he? He can't see himself, and all he can behold now is the sun. And then God says, oh yeah, what was your trouble again? I don't remember. You see what we got? Faith is a necessity for us to get a hold of. Gotta have it. Thanks, Josh. It's God's view. It's God's view. And it's God's view of His Son. Sorry to keep y'all so long. Remember, next week is our dinner thing we're bringing out. I know it's holidays and everything, but you know, those things don't mean nothing to me. They really don't. This does. This is all that's important to me. So, thank you.